Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning, every single one of you. And we're glad to have Dave and Rose visiting with us. Hey, Dave and Rose. As y'all can see, Paul is not here. He is taking a little break, so along with several other people. So anyway, will you join me in prayer? Father, we just give you thanks and praise today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord God, we worship you and we praise your holy name. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because as Joe said, Lord, no matter what we're walking through, you are still on the throne. You are still good. You are still sovereign. You are still Lord. You are still merciful and compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And Father, for that we thank you. That you are such a loving, forgiving God. But you are also just and holy, and so therefore you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, so that our guilt does not remain and our sins are atoned for. And so, Lord, we say thank you this morning for what you have done for us that we could not do for ourselves. And Father, we just pray that you would be glorified, you would be honored in this place this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gift of music, for what it does for our souls and our bodies. To be able to sing praises to you and to take our eyes off of ourselves and just for the healing of music, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that is gathered here this morning. I thank you for the family that you have put together at Three Point, and I pray for your hand to be upon each one. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each one of us, and we would know your love and your power and that soundness of mind and that self-control that you say is who you are and who you give to us as we are filled with you. And Father, we lift up those among us who are sick. We pray especially for Barbara Beach and Jennifer Beach, Milton Beach, Lance Buchanan, Sarah Bice, Susan Burridge, Meg Cushy, Courtney Chancey, Kathy Chapman, Rodney Mary and Rod Court, Michaela Dye, Lenora Gregory, Marsan Hychik, Ed and Kim Johnson, Darian, Sandy, Lacey, and Lily Johnson, Don Kepfer, Aaron Lannon, Clint Martin, Ken McLean, Cassandra McNeil, Megan and Preston Miles, Bob and Terry Miller, Clyde Mobley, Sylvia Norris, Susan Soto, Latrell Walker, we pray for Tolik Domenko and his friends who were injured by the lightning. We pray for the family of Larry Fallen. Lord, and for all those who have needs that weren't mentioned, we lift them up to you because we know that you know. You know what we need before we ask. Father, we pray especially for the Gulf Coast this morning that is facing this hurricane. We pray for your mercy. We pray, Lord, that you would spare lives, and that all eyes would look to you. Father, we thank you for who you are. We ask you to forgive us for who we are so often. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for doing what we shouldn't have done and for not doing what we should have done. Forgive us for not loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. For being lazy and complacent and apathetic. And Lord, just fill us and help us to be the people that you have called us to be, that bring you glory. Lord, we pray for Paul and Margie as they are away, that you would bless them, that you would give them rest and restoration. Lord, we pray that as we listen to your word this morning, that you would speak to us and that we would be changed, and having heard from you, we would go out and live our lives for your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you see up there, the title of this is We Do Not Lose Heart. Are you ever tempted to lose heart? To throw up your hands and walk away from your faith, from the church, from God, from everything? Every day? Every day? Does life ever get so hard and you feel so alone and like God is not answering your prayers and you say, I just can't do this anymore? Or, I'm done. I'm done. I've recently listened to on Audible and then actually bought the book and read it myself, a book by Johnny Erickson Tada that Paulette mentioned to me one day called When God Weeps. Now, Johnny is a Christian who broke her neck in a diving accident when she was 17 years old, and she's been a quadriplegic in a wheelchair ever since then, unable to move anything from the neck down. I think she can use her shoulders a little bit, but that's it. And that was in 1967. So she's been this way almost all of her life since she was 17 years old. So when she speaks about suffering and wanting to lose heart, I listen. I want to hear what she has to say and how she has managed to stay in love with Jesus all these years. You know what I'm talking about? It's hard to ignore people who have been there. I mean, if someone wants to encourage me and to not lose heart and give me a bunch of platitudes or quote scripture to me when they have never suffered and walked through the fire, then it doesn't mean quite as much as it does when it's coming from somebody that you know has been there. So when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and that's where we're going to be this morning, so if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, written by the Apostle Paul, it means a lot. Because I know that Paul had been there. He had many opportunities to want to lose heart. And just to remind you, if you have forgotten who Paul was, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 28, we see just a glimpse of some of what he had suffered. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. We also know that Jesus had said that Paul would suffer. If you look in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 16, you know, when Paul had his vision on the road to Damascus, when he was going to persecute the Christians, and Jesus appeared to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul?" And he was blinded. The Holy Spirit gave a vision to a disciple named Ananias and told him, "I want you to go to Paul, and he's seen a vision of you coming to him, laying your hands on him, so that he can receive his sight." And so what Ananias' response was in Acts 9, 13 through 16, he says, "But Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer in behalf of my name. Paul also had a chronic physical illness of some kind. We don't know what it was, but God refused to heal it. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. That's a pretty serious physical ailment, right? He says, I was given something to torment me. Not just a little nagging thing that bothered me occasionally. This is something that torments me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when Paul says 2 times in 1 chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart, I listen. Because I know that he was tempted to lose heart. Because you don't make statements like that if they never cross your mind. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we have to preach to ourselves, therefore we do not lose heart. And Paul twice in this chapter says, we do not lose heart. And I think it's because he was tempted to lose heart. So let's read chapter 4, and then we'll talk about it. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So as I've studied this week, I see at least 8 reasons why he might have been tempted to lose heart and 11 why he didn't. So we're going to be here for a while. No. Now I'm going to go through these real fast, okay? So relax. But first of all, let's look at why he might have been tempted to lose heart according to his words here. And the first thing that I thought was the work of Satan. We can't deny that it's real. That he has a plan, he has a strategy against each one of us, he has a scheme, the Bible tells us. He is at work to destroy you and me. So there is the work of Satan. He says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If you are a minister of the gospel, or you are just a regular person who cares about the souls and lives of other people, and you feel like you are constantly sharing Jesus with other people and trying to get them to respond, and nobody seems to be responding, have you ever been there? It's frustrating. And it leads to discouragement that leads to losing heart if we're not careful. I know I have been there many times in my life when you feel like you're teaching, you're preaching, you're telling people about what Jesus has done for you, and they don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, and there have been times in my life when I have gotten so tired of saying it that I have just quit. It's like, it doesn't matter. God, you didn't give me the gift of evangelism. I can't do it. You know? I mean, I don't have that gift, so I might as well just shut up because nobody listens to what I say. The work of Satan that keeps people from believing the gospel is so discouraging sometimes, and I think Paul was tempted to lose heart because of that. If he was human, he was tempted to lose heart. He may have also been tempted to lose heart because he says in verse 8, he says, he is afflicted in every way. And he's probably referring here just to the daily afflictions, struggles, and frustrations that you face by being human. They make us weary. They make us want to lose heart. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, that he constantly has fightings without and fears within. Do you ever feel that way? That you constantly have fightings without. There's always conflict going on the outside, and there's always fears within that you are having to battle. He says he is perplexed. That word there means to be confused, to be without resources, to be left wanting, to be embarrassed, to be in doubt, not to know which way to turn, to be at a loss with one's self. I know I have many times when nothing makes sense. That is to be perplexed. He says he is persecuted in verse 9. We've already read about all the persecution that he suffered just because of the name of Jesus. He is struck down, he says, and that can be literally or figuratively. He dies every day to himself, verse 10, crucifying his flesh with its passions and desires. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. He says in verse 16 that his body is decaying. Can you relate? Wearing out. It's in pain. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away. I know some of y'all know that. And one thing he doesn't say, but I believe it's true just from the context and because he was human. He can't help but see the scene. You know what I mean? He lived in this world and he understood what it was to focus on the seen and the temporary. And I'm sure when he did, he was tempted to lose heart. Just like us. We get focused on what we can see and what is temporary. And when we do that, we are tempted to lose heart. But Paul says, we do not lose heart. He says it twice. And he does us a great service in this chapter, I think, by telling us why he doesn't lose heart. Why doesn't Paul lose heart? The first reason is because God, in his mercy, has given him this ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. The Message says it this way. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we don't throw up our hands and walk away. And I think what he's saying is, since God has so mercifully, so generously made me a part of what he is doing in this world, it's a big deal and it's important. And so how can I walk away from this? And I think to keep ourselves in that place so that we don't lose heart, we have to constantly go back and remember whose we are, where we've come from, who did what has been done in our lives. Go back to that salvation experience, to that first time you met Jesus, to what he did. Remember who you are and whose you are, and do not lose heart. It's God himself who has chosen you. You can't give up. God chose you. Paul didn't lose heart because, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 2, he had intentionally renounced some things. He says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And if we're not going to lose heart, if we're going to make it through, we are going to have to sit down and have some heart-to-heart talks with ourselves and those around us. We have to take off the mask. We have to repent of the sins. We have to take God at his word, and we have to stand in the truth. Because what happens is, if we are trying to be somebody we are not, if we are trying to make the word of God say something it doesn't, we are not going to have the Spirit of God operating fully in our lives, and we are not going to have the power not to lose heart. Does that make sense? So we've got to be real people, not just here on Sundays at 3 Point. We've got to be real people when we're at home in our bedrooms or our bathrooms or our living rooms where nobody else can see what we're doing. We need to take off the mask, repent of the sins, take God at his word, and stand in the truth. Another reason Paul didn't lose heart is because he says, I'm not doing this for myself. He says in verse 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You know, if we don't realize at some point that this life is not about us, and the Christian life is a call to live for Jesus and others, we will lose heart. Because when it becomes about us, we begin to lose heart and we sink into a hole of self-pity. So we have to fight that self-pity battle with everything we have so that we do not lose heart. Because this life is about Jesus. It's about living for Jesus. Living for the one who died for you. He did not lose heart because God had shown his light in his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The same God that said in Genesis 1, let there be light, the creator of all, is the same one who has shown his light into your heart. And that light is Jesus, the image and glory of God. And he is our treasure. Nikki Gumbel, the guy that does the Alpha on Wednesday night, says faith in Jesus is utterly transformational, both now and into eternity. And that's another reason we need to go constantly back and remember our salvation, when God shone his light in our heart. Paul had been utterly transformed because God had shown his light. Remember, it was so bright it blinded him. He had shown his light of his son into his heart, and he was changed for all eternity. We don't lose heart because of this treasure that we have been given, this light that has been shown in our heart. He did not lose heart also because he knows he's just an ordinary jar of clay. In verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That but there, I think, is significant. But we have this treasure, because he's just talked about this light that is shown into our heart, this treasure that we have. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. It might not look like you might not be able to see it. And our own pride will cause us to lose heart faster than anything else, because we can never serve God in the flesh. Paul's hopes and expectations for himself are not dashed every day, because he understands this one huge thing. And it's a huge thing that we need to understand if we're going to walk this narrow road and not lose heart. And that is, I am just a jar of clay. An everyday, ordinary, cracked, leaking, broken, and put back together many times, used, faded, maybe even ugly jar made out of dirt. Maybe that's not good for your self-esteem. But you know what? It's okay. And that's how Paul doesn't lose heart, because he knows it's okay. And it's even more than okay, according to this scripture. It's how God made it. So that he would get all the glory. Do you see what that verse says there? 2 Corinthians 4:7, so we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's all about God. That's why so many people lose their faith and walk away when some preacher that they had put on a pedestal falls into sin, because they didn't realize he had that treasure in a jar of clay. The treasure's the treasure. The gospel is the gospel. Jesus is the king, regardless of what happens to the jar of clay. It's all about Jesus. We have this treasure, but it is in a jar of clay. And so don't get so hung up on yourself, because you will lose heart. I've often heard people talk about others who were so charismatic and talented, and they say something like, if they would just turn their lives over to God, they would be so fruitful for the kingdom. And I understand what they mean. But now I think to myself, when somebody says that, probably not. Unless they get all their whatever it is you think makes them look so great knocked out of them. And as A.W. Tozer once said, God rarely uses a person greatly unless he has first hurt him deeply, because God is not impressed with human greatness. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 27 through 29, he says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." God uses jars of clay for the very purpose of him receiving all the glory. So whatever it is that you think you have that keeps you from being fruitful in the kingdom of God, God wants that. We want God to take our strengths and fix them up and make them shine. And he says, "No thanks. I'll take that weakness." Paul didn't lose heart. He resisted the temptation to get frustrated that he was not, as they used to say, all that in a bag of chips to others or to himself. He had learned to boast in his weaknesses so that the power of Christ would rest upon him. He fought for this ability. It didn't come easy. And I turned the page and I wasn't done. Paul didn't lose heart, because he was not crushed. Even though he was afflicted in every way, he was hard-pressed constantly on every side, but God still gave him the grace to go on. And we know that God says his grace is sufficient, meaning it is enough, not that it's all that you want it to be. You know, I've said this many times, sufficient means bread and water. It doesn't mean a steak dinner. And so when we're afflicted but we're not crushed, it means God's given us the grace to go on. Many times I've felt like God has said to me when I've been complaining to him, "God, where are you? Why are you letting this happen? I don't feel you. I don't know if you love me. Blah, 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 blah. Sandra, I gave you manna that you did not know." And I look at my life and I think, somehow I'm sustained. I don't feel like it. I don't feel anything. I don't feel what I want to feel, but God has given me manna that I did not know, so that I might know that man does not live on bread alone. Man does not live on his feelings alone. Man does not live on his physical strength alone. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It says, because he did not give in to despair, he did not lose heart. Even though he was perplexed, he had times of wondering, "What in the world, God?" Have you ever said that? "What in the world, God? What is going on here? How did this happen?" He did not despair because he knew that God would come through. He did not lose heart because he knew he would not be forsaken, because Jesus had said so. In Hebrews chapter 13, 5, Jesus says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And you've heard before that the verb tense there is never, no, never, not ever will I forsake you. So even though he was perplexed and crushed, he was not forsaken. He was persecuted. He was not forsaken. He was not totally abandoned or hopeless. I think sometimes we feel forsaken. I know I do. But we're not. We feel a lot of things that we are not. He hasn't left us. He has not broken his promise to us. He will not. Remember the fightings without and the fears within. It's the human condition. He did not lose heart because he was not destroyed. Even though he was struck down, he was not destroyed. God always held his hand and helped him up. Remember the psalm, "Though you fall headlong, I am the one that holds your right hand." He did not lose heart because he believed in the resurrection. It is written, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. This is such an important point, especially in the days of COVID, when everyone around you is scared of dying from this disease. Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise you with Jesus? Do you know you will live forever even if you die? Fear of death can make you lose heart, but Jesus can take that fear of death away to give us eternal life, so that all who believe in him will never die. Do you believe that? I remember when my dad was in the hospital last December, and I was there in the room with him by myself. You know, they wouldn't let but one person be in there, and it just had happened just like that. I mean, he was walking one day, and the next day he's in the hospital, and then he's just not communicating, not eating, not doing anything, and I'm just walking around his bed, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, the scripture comes to me. I didn't even really know that I knew it from memory, but the scripture came to me where it says that Jesus said to her in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That very scripture came into my mind. It was as if Jesus was saying to me, Sandra, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will never die. And he who lives and believes in me that will whatever. Do you believe this? And I was like, yes, Lord, I do believe this. It is so important that we believe in the resurrection, so that we do not lose heart. Because it's like I was talking to Joe Wednesday night, and I said, you know, COVID, people aren't coming to church, people aren't coming to small groups. I get it. I'm not condemning anybody, judging anybody. You know, you got to do what you got to do. I said, but everybody's scared they're going to die. And Joe looked at me, she said, and they are. I just had to laugh. And I said, you're right. We are. We are all going to die. But, you know, but praise God, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. And finally, Paul didn't lose heart because he focused not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. He says in verse 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We've forgotten about eternity. We focus almost solely on the things that we can see and touch. And it's usually only in our suffering, when the seen things can't fix what's wrong, that we begin to remember the things that will last. And sometimes the only cure for what ails us is to look at eternity. It takes an intentional effort to focus on the eternal things because they are unseen. But let me encourage you, the next time you're tempted to lose heart, take a moment to see what you're fixing your eyes on. Is it what you see? Is it the chaos that's going on around you? Because there's a lot of it in this world. Is it on the temporary? The things that are going to go away? This too shall pass. Or is it the unseen? Is it Jesus? the things that are eternal, the things that really matter. That is how we don't lose heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word and that we can live by every word that comes out of your mouth. You are the one in whom we have put our hope. And Lord, surely if we can believe that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If we can believe that, if we have entrusted our eternal security upon that verse, then surely, Lord, we can believe that you are here with us today, walking through whatever we are walking through, that you will be with us tomorrow. Lord, help us to focus our eyes and our minds, our thoughts, on you, on the one who is eternal, the one who never changes, the one who has promised never to forsake us. And help us not to lose heart, but to stand in the evil day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.